And so it was in the days before, when the old god brought ruin to every corner of the world. Great were his injustices and mistreatments of all living things, the birds in the sky and the beasts on the ground, and the humans who labored in his service. He cared nothing for their pain and suffering. Worse, it pleased him to inflict horror wherever he could. When he saw the bright wing of a cormorant diving towards the sea for its dinner, he would send scalding water to burn bird and fish both. When a horse pulled a plow behind it, he would strew the path with rocks to dull the blade and to pain the horse's hooves. For humankind, he reserved his most particular kinds of violence. But remembering those days causes even the bravest of storytellers too much grief. Better to tell of what came after. 7 godlings, born of the old god's discarded human toys, found one another in the ruin of the world. They knew that should any of them stand alone, their small power would be instantly obliterated, but they did not give up hope. They practiced working together, uniting in concert to increase their chances. But still, they feared it would not be enough. When all seemed truly lost, the youngest of them found a green stone, the sort that humans called emerald. It was of inconsequential size and not particularly striking to behold, but the godling thought that it would suit their purpose, and called upon the others to fill it with their strength. Over and over, the godlings put their power into the stone until it sang to them with the promise of better days to come. The old god felt the stirring of this new power and came to find them, but he was unprepared for their new strength. Godlings no more, they had only to touch the old god with their gem, and they undid him. Thus, peace came at last to the world, with the old god vanquished and the new ones much kinder in their treatment of it. But alas, that was not the end. The old god had fled, yes, but some of his servants remained. And though they faced a long wait to restore their master, wait they did. Finally, after long millennia, one such servant took it upon herself to bring her master back, even though it would release ruination on the world once more. To that end, the old god's servant ensnared the king of Cadrium, center of the world and beacon of knowledge, in a spell so vile that it ate away at the king's very life. Fearful that the loss of her king would bring about a war violent enough to resurrect the old god himself, Sir Eris Quicksword went on a desperate quest to find the god's gem again, that same emerald the new gods had used, lost all this time from history's record. With her rode 3 champions, each particularly skilled in multiple aspects of the knightly arts, along with the greatest living mage, and 2 others, so that their company might number 7, the same as did the new gods. Great were their trials and tribulations upon the road. Yet through mastery of themselves and of their surroundings, they did manage not only to find the god's gem itself, but also to take it to the old god's altar, rebuilt in secret by his cruel servants, and there destroy him utterly. It was in those final moments, when the old god was at his most powerful and the knights at their most vulnerable, that the wisdom of the new gods showed itself. Sir Eris dealt the killing blow. Yes, her sword was as quick as her name foretold. But without the aid of her companions, picked for their skills but also for their number, she would have been overmatched. At this most important time, the weight of destiny fell upon the shoulders of a mere apprentice knight. Kept aside during the fighting to guard the mage's back, the apprentice saw the battle unfold and knew when the moment for her to act had arrived. As she watched her companions quail in the face of the old god's rising, Calanthe Ironheart did not falter. She was able to distract the old god, giving time to Sir Eris and allowing her to use the god's gem to put to rest the old god once and for all.